Hello everyone, welcome to SAP on Public Cloud podcast. Today we have our special guest Pranesh Soundarajan, who has got a significant experience in SAP basis technologies as well as SAP on Azure. Welcome Pranesh, thank you for joining us today. So it's going to be an interesting session where we are going to jump into the high level architecture when it comes to hosting SAP systems on Azure. So over to you, Pranesh, a few words, then we will jump into the topic.
Yeah, thanks Prakash. It's a pleasure to be here. So it's a wonderful platform what you're building. So this will definitely help a lot of people who would like to learn not just SAP and Azure, but also SAP and any public cloud. Thanks for inviting me. So for the next 15 to 20 minutes, let's see how we can dive deep into the other Azure products surrounding SAP.
So for the audience, last time we were talking about with Mani, and we were talking about enterprise scale landing zone, where we were looking at how the enterprise scale landing zone should be deployed when it comes to SAP on Azure. But today we are going to take a deep dive into that. So let me share my screen now. So as you can see, last time we were taking a look at the entire big picture in terms of, what kind of structure you should have for subscriptions, different subscription for connectivity, different subscription for SAP production, SAP non-production and so on. But today we are going to take a deep dive into this particular area where we are going to discuss about the networking, subnet, firewall, incoming network security group and so on. Let me present a quick high-level architecture where myself and Pranesh will be taking you through how this kind of architecture can be helpful for your deployments when it comes to SAP on Azure. So Pranesh, over to you now. Based on your experience working with various customers, I'm sure you have worked with a number of customers, so what are the typical or standard architecture that we see in the SAP on Azure space, and what kind of challenges we have, or what kind of information that SAP guys should know when they take their journey towards SAP on Azure?
Yeah, sure, Prakash. Maybe just before I get started, so what is your experience? So when you have discussed with other SAP basis architects, so how is their knowledge when it comes to Azure network products, network services? Are they familiar with it, or should I go deep dive into some of the Azure network topologies? So that would really help me to set the stage, so then I can take it from there.
Yeah, my experience, when it comes to SAP guys or SAP basis guys who are working on Azure, they are limiting themselves with, say for example, give me the VM, then let me deploy SAP on top of it, right? But underlying, how the subnet is carved, what do we mean by network security group, how the traffic is flowing from my on-premise to Azure, what kind of network topology we have, how the internet-based connections are operated. So that kind of areas where there is still, it's not really clear to many of our, SAP basis colleagues, and that is also one of the reason we have this platform to bring them up to speed in terms of, not just the infrastructure or VM that you get from Azure, but also the underlying components there. How do you recognize this?
Yeah, yes, very much recognize this. So indeed, for most of the SAP basis architects, they really look at the compute part of it. They know the VMs that are supported for SAP workloads to run SAP workloads on Azure, but not so much experience about the network topologies of how the communication works between on-premise and workloads running on Azure. How are the communications working between different Spoke VNets, and what are the different network requirements that are coming from the customer side? So I very much recognize what you're saying. Let's use the next 15-20 minutes to deep dive into this, and then if needed, we can also have follow-up sessions as well. Happy
Sounds
to be
good.
part of it.
Sounds good. Thank you, Pranish.
Yes.
Okay, so here is the, you know, I have put it in the screen. So Hoare is on audio podcast, so they can probably take a look at the video podcast to get the screen share. We'll try to, you know, cover it in the audio format as much as possible. But if you want to really see it, then you can take a look at it in the video format. Yeah, Pranish, over to you. So this diagram, right? Can I probably use some time to explain? You know, we have made it very simple, right? To make it simple for the audience, so you can probably explain it now.
Yeah, sure, Prakash. So normally, so if you start discussing about SAP and Azure deployment, so you start to get involved in network discussions as well. So unless they already have, so if a customer who has already other workloads which are running, then what you would see here, the central part, which is the central hub VNet, so that will be there with most of the customers. But even then, so I think we also worked on an engagement recently, so where you have to get, where you need to start engaging with the network teams to understand what are the network services that they have, or do they have Azure first party services, or do they have third party NVAs, etc. Right. So the first and foremost thing we need to understand is like what are the customer network requirements, right? So what are the network security requirements? So not network requirements, but network security requirements. What I mean with this, so, okay, so when you have SAP deployments, yes, you probably might know it will be span across different Spoke VNets. You have one Spoke VNet for non-SAP workloads, another Spoke VNet for production workloads, right? So non-production and production workloads. So the first and foremost thing is like, okay, so what are the network security requirements? What I commonly see, right? So the customer always want to have the Spoke VNet traffic to be routed through an NVA, right? What does it mean? So NVA means it is a virtual appliance, network virtual appliance. So it could be Azure Firewall, or it could also be a third party appliance like Palo Alto, Barracuda, or anything. Right, so that would be the first and foremost thing. So so in the same way, so we need to also find out what are the other requirements. So how the traffic flows, like, so what are the different use cases that that might emerge from an from SAP workload which are running in Azure. So one is spoke to spoke communication, right? It should be routed through firewall, yes or no. Second thing is like, okay, spoke to on-premise, which is the hybrid communications. Okay, so how should the traffic should flow? The third thing is, okay, from spoke from SAP workload to outside world, which is the egress traffic to the internet, right? And the fourth is like ingress traffic from internet to your SAP workloads, right? So these are the common scenarios what you see. So so now here, the common topology that what you see for any, and what Microsoft advocates, and is like hub and spoke topology, right? So when I say spoke, the spoke are your SAP workloads and non-SAP workloads, and hub is where your central services would sit. So when I say central services, it as I can see in your picture, you have the gateway subnets. So which is the gateway for connecting to your on-premise network for the hybrid connectivity. So it could be like, for example, if you're connecting using Express Route Circuit, then you need to have a gateway subnet. But if you're using a VPN, then you need to have site-to-site or a VPN VPN gateway, right? In order to establish the connection between on-premise and Azure. So that's the first and foremost thing that is part of your hub VNet. And what you see in other customers as well, like, you have the security controls, right? The central security controls will be there. Like here we see Azure Firewall, but it could also be Azure Firewall or along with Azure Firewall, you also have a application gateway, right? So that is more for layer 7 type of traffics, like HTTP, HTTPS traffic. And it also does WAF, Web Application Firewall. Right, so there are different architecture patterns that we can discuss during our next session. I don't want to go dive deep into that right now, but what common things, as you see, like, you have the security controls, and you also have other SAT services like DNS, Azure Identity, and also other things, right? So Active Directory as well. Those are the things what you see in the hub unit. So when the traffic, for example, if there are communication needs to happen between, so in your picture, I see there are two firewalls. So it is introducing an extra hop, right? So for example, if the communication has to happen from non-production VNet to production SAP VNet, so how the traffic routes is like in this case, so there is no direct VNet peering, as you can see in your picture. So it has to go through an NVA. So the NVA here is your Azure firewall, right? So so when communication establishes, if it has to communicate to production, it goes to Azure firewall and the non-production Azure firewall, and then it hops on to Azure firewall to the production, and then it goes to the production SAP VNet. So that's how it works. So this is a pattern we see with some customers, but most of the customers, they have one Azure firewall. So it varies from customer to customer. It depends upon their network security requirements, but both are supported, right? So this only downside here is like it is introducing an additional hop. So you need to go through additional Azure firewall, but normally you don't have.
So what I'm saying is you can simply, you know, you can simply have it like, you know, one single firewall and leave the connections like this. Also possible.
Yeah, that's right. So then you can establish the. So then there is what you do is like you establish a VNet peering between your spoke VNet to your hub VNet. So from spoke one to hub, there is a peering. The same way you have, so in this case, you have spoke two, which is the production SAP VNet to hub VNet.
Yeah.
So you basically then set a UDR in the spoke VNet. Right, so basically to route the traffic to Azure firewall, so those are the configurations that you need to do on the routing side of the spoke VNet. So when a traffic is initiating, then it knows, right, okay, this is my next hop, and then it reaches Azure firewall, and then it connects to the spoke VNet.
So how do they get started? You know, when they go for the implementation. So let's take an example that.
Yes, yes, I can hear you. So there is a lot of background noise on my side because today there is a code red alert in Netherlands. There is a storm.
Yeah, so. I can understand that. Maybe I'm also seeing a lot of noise around. So, but anyway, you know, so how do they start when they start the deployment? Let's take an example that, you know, the customer already have the hub VNet. You know, they are already using it for various other purposes. In that kind of situation, so what kind of immediate steps that they do when it comes to networking, when they have to, you know, onboard their SAP systems on Azure? Do they need a dedicated subscription for each of their production and non-production? Do they need to have dedicated VNets? What is the recommendation? Should they put it in the, you know, say for example, if they have a non-SAP VNet already, non-SAP non-production VNet and non-SAP production VNet, should they put it there, or should they? It is recommended to, you know, separate them and create a dedicated VNet for SAP environment so that your, you know, your NSGs, your subnets are clean, and you know, the firewall rules are and so on are clean. So what is the general? How do they get started?
Yeah, so basically it ties back to the discussion that you you mentioned in the beginning of this podcast. So the enterprise scale landing zone, right? So there, what we advocate, what the general practice is like, we are creating workload zones. So SAP being a workload zone, so it will have its own VNet, right? So then you can decide whether you need to have one VNet for SAP where you deploy all your environments like production, non-production, development, or whether you have multiple workload zones, like one for your non-production and one for your production. So typically we don't recommend combining it with a non-SAP. So what we recommend is like, okay, have a separate workload zone, and also based on your subscription democratization. So normally what we see is like customers would have at least two different subscriptions minimum. So one for your non-production and also for your production. This also helps you to test things like if you're talking about identity access management, creating role-based access, right? So it also helps you to test your roles, similar to your change management, how you do kernel upgrades, right? So you have different tiers in SAP. The same way you have different. So subscription is a logical unit. So where you can also on the resource group level you can create a role based access, right? So then those kind of things it would really help you to test instead of having everything in one subscription, spread it into multiple subscriptions.
And
so that's also that's also what we say is subscription democratization, right? So subscription should not be the limiting factor for scalability.
I understand. So, you know, on-premise, as you might have seen, many of the customers have had one single virtual machine for, you know, application and DB. But when they move into cloud, at least majority of the environments where I've seen, it's always split into, you know, two different subnets, one for application, one for database, right? So is coming from a best practice point of view, or, you know, how do you see that?
Yeah, it's basically it's called difference in depth, right? So you basically you have multiple layers. So you always assume breach, like it has to do with the zero trust principles, right? So so you always assume breach. You need to reduce the blast radius. So, so when one layer is has been breached, you still have the other layer which can protect you from the damage, right? So from that perspective, so like we generally recommend having a three-tier architecture. So so that's what we see and many customers for production, right? So so you have one for DB, another one for application layer, then you use NSGs on top of it on the subnet to basically allow the controls of which ports are accessible and etc.
So what you're saying is this one will have, for example, the database, for example, S4 HANA connection port will have, you know, the ports will be opened only between the application layer and the DB layer. So nothing else, you know, nobody else will be able to communicate on any other port on this VM. So that is what you're saying.
Yes, unless you specifically create the rules on NSGs.
So that, you know, if somebody gets access to application subnet, so they will, at least they will take time for them to be able to reach the database if at all there is a breach.
Yes, so normally, so it can, again, within the VNets, inside a VNet, you would be able to communicate to different VMs, right? Unless you have an NSG rule. So you create an NSG rule. With the NSG rule, you basically tell these are my inbound, these are my outbound. So only for the specific ports, you will be able to, you can do that on a subnet level or on the NIC level. So both are possible, but generally what we see is like customers do it on a subnet level, and then they only allow for this VM, these are the inbound connections, and only these ports are exposed. Not everything is exposed, right? So
in some cases, I've also seen some customers, you know, putting, you know, basically the NSG on the NIC. Some customers say, you know, put it on the subnet. So what is the, you know, general recommendation that we have? Should we put it on each network card, or should we, you know, it's the best practice to keep?
I think putting, so it is better to put it on the subnet level. So otherwise, if you start doing it in the NIC level, I don't know how it easy to manage. So it only creates administrative overhead, right? So, and there is also a nice blog post written by one of my colleague, also from NSG transitioning to ASG as well, right? Application security use, right? So that is more on the subnet level. That is not possible on the NIC level. So I would definitely suggest doing it on the subnet level, not on the NIC level. And that's what I see with most of the customers as well. So,
for the basis folks, you know, when we talk about NSG, NSG is nothing but a firewall rule, so using which you can say inbound rules, you know, saying, say, for example, for the HANA database, 30,001 or 30,005 ports to be opened from the application subnet. So you can say inbound, it is allowed. You can also deny, saying, you know, these are the ranges, I don't want to get exposed to anybody else. So that kind of configurations are done at the NSG level. And the NSG, basically you create the NSG with the rules and then attach it to a particular subnet. So if you have, for example, you have S4 HANA system today, and if you build another VM in the same subnet, so then that VM will also get the same kind of rules applied. Say, for example, you have SAP PO in this, you need to have the same SAP PO in here, then you know whatever NSG rules that are applied on the subnet, that will get applied on this VM as well. So
yeah, and also you can basically deny all the outbound connections to internet, etc. So normally you don't want to have a public IP for these VMs, right? So and then
yeah, okay. So there is another interesting aspect, Pranesh. For example, you know, the SAP router, right? So how do you see SAP router communication coming from SAP AG? You know, what the route in which it comes?
Yeah, so it depends, right? So some customers, they would like to use the SAP router, which is already on-premise. They don't want to move the SAP router, but some customers, they want to have SAP router on Azure. So let's discuss a scenario where we have SAP router running in Azure, right? So in order to have the communication between SAP and the systems, you need to have SAP router. And for SAP router, you need to have a public IP. Only then SAP would be able to communicate,
yeah.
Right? So but normally, if you look at, so some customers, they would keep the SAP router in the DMC, so in the central VNet,
okay.
Where you have a DMC subnet, you have a DMC subnet and you have the SAP router running there, it can have a public IP, so right. But some customers, they would like to have, so in the scenario that you discussed, like where some customers, they would like to have the central VNet only for security controls, not for any application related things like SAP router. So then you need to have the SAP router, which is in your SAP Spoke VNet, as a DMZ subnet within your SAP Spoke VNet, right? So, but also the security controls normally says that, okay, you should not have public IPs. So in that case, what you would do, you would leverage Azure Firewall, right? So the Azure Firewall would have a public IP. So basically from SAP remote site, you can use to connect to the SAP Azure Firewall. So it has the public IP and then it does the NATing. So the network address translation is done on the firewall. So it can do a DNAT and then it can destination NATing. And then it can actually route the traffic to SAP router and to specific ports. So that's how normally it works.
So in some customers, like you said, they have a subnet in the hub itself, and then they keep it completely away from the Spoke VNet. So some customers where they cannot put application components on the hub, in case they can also leverage this kind of architecture where firewall, Azure Firewall provides the public IP with the DNAT. I'm just thinking, you know, what else can we give to the SAP basis folks, you know, using this session? Is there anything else that you want to share today, Pranesh, or should we take another deep dive session on specifics?
Yeah, so maybe the other thing I would like to share, I'm also looking at the time, it's already 23 minutes, if we, time just flies. Maybe one thing I would like to discuss here is like what you don't see here is in the central hub VNet is the layer 7
app gateway,
right? So Azure application gateway. So it has basically layer 7 load balancing and also it has a web application firewall, right? So that's what you don't see it here. So what it does is like, especially if you take the Fiori use case, right? So it's all HTTP and HTTPS traffic. So so that's also the pattern that I normally see. So with many customers, so they would like they will have application gateway in combination with Azure Firewall, right? So they will both run in parallel. So so we can also discuss the pros and cons in the next podcast. Okay, so what happens if the traffic hits firewall first and it goes through application gateway, or what happens if it traffic hits application gateway first and then goes through Azure Firewall? So those things we can discuss.
Sounds great. Yeah, we are already giving a hint in terms of, you know, what we want to discuss in the next session. I hope this session has been very interesting to the people who have not got exposed to SAP on Azure or learn it on Azure. So next session we will be jumping, you know, a deep dive into, you know, App Gateway. How do we say, for example, Web Dispatcher? How do we ensure the load balancing? How does the web communication happen, and so on? So stay tuned on this channel. So we are here to provide you more and more knowledge, not just at a high level, but we want to take a deep dive and give you as much as possible. Thank you, Pranesh, for joining us today. It's been a great experience. I mean, you're sharing your knowledge. Sharing knowledge has been part of your journey. And thanks for coming here and sharing your knowledge to the larger group who really wants to learn SAP on Azure.
Yeah, thanks, Prakash. Thanks for inviting. So let's discuss about the next sessions. Looking forward for joining multiple sessions to share the knowledge.
Sure. And thank you, Pranesh. And thank you, everyone. Stay tuned.